Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. Once upon a time, three men set out on a journey. They lived in a village and all was pretty well in their lives. It was a pleasant place with their families and their joys and their sorrows. It was not easy, but it was their life. But they heard tell of a great treasure that they should seek. So, sitting around one evening in the pub, they decided that they would take a journey together to find this great treasure. And so early one morning, they got on their horses and they rode out, and they rode for a couple of days. And then through the forest as they rode, they came to a clearing, and it was a broad and open space, and they could see before them three roads. Curiously, there was an old and wizened man sitting right in the center of the clearing, around a great stump. And on the stump sat a piping hot mug of tea and a crust of bread. As they came into the clearing, they demanded of the old man, "Which of these roads leads to the treasure?" And he drank from his tea and he ate from his bread. And he looked on the three riders and said, "For many years I have sat in this place, and many have come and asked me this question. And for all of these years and for all of these travelers, I must tell you, I do not know which road leads to the treasure." The three men became anxious and angry, and they began to ride back and forth and to peer into the first part of each road to begin to try and figure out which was the one that would lead to the treasure that they so desperately wanted. But none could find a clue. And so again, they demanded of the man, "Which is the right road?" And he drank his tea, and he said, "Sir, I cannot tell you which is the right road, or the left road, or the center one for that matter." And so the three men argued, and one finally decided, seeing the dark portal of one of the roads grown over by the trees, that if there was a treasure, it must be hard to get to. And so he chose the dark road, because surely the more difficulty that he would go through, the greater the gift he would find at the end. And so he rode deep into the road. And the darkness closed behind him, and there was no light. And the further in he went, the smaller it closed behind him, until finally he became utterly and completely lost. For there was no way ahead and no way back, and no treasure. And the second man, watching his friend disappear into the darkness, thought to himself, "If there is treasure, it will be planted in a pleasant place." And so he looked at the road where there was light and joy, and he could see as he looked down the road butterflies. And he thought, surely that must be the way. And so he took his horse and he rode into the midst of this beautiful and pleasant pastoral scene, where there were poppies growing and butterflies flying. And he dismounted his horse, and he laid in the field with the weeds coming up around him and the bunnies nibbling at his toes, and was content. And soon the thought of the treasure drifted out of his mind, and there he lay until he died. For there was really nothing pressing to do, for it was so nice there. The third man, having been left alone from his two friends, rode back and forth anxiously, looking first at the dark road and then the light road and then the middle road, and he could not decide what to do. He became more and more anxious, more and more worried, and he rode in here and there and back again, and finally he came to the old man, who by now had finished his tea and was having a brandy. And said, "Old man, which is the right road?" And again he answered, "I cannot tell you." So the man dismounted his horse and he walked up to the old man and got right in his face. And he said, "Which is the way?" And he relented. And he said, "Well, the way to the treasure all depends, or the road to the treasure depends on the road you came from." And he said, "Well, what do you mean by that?" He says, "Well, from whence did you come? What was it like there?" And the remaining rider talked of his family and the beautiful little pub where they would sit and eat mutton stew and drink mead. And he talked of his children and what an amazing day, that first day when his daughter was born. And he talked of the hardship of his work and the pain in his back. And the more he talked, the more clear it became. And so the old man drew back his hood, and he said, "I think you know the road where the treasure is." And the rider got on his horse and took the road home. In our gospel lesson and in the Old Testament lesson today, there's a lot of language about light and dark, and salvation, and condemnation. When we read that Old Testament lesson, we're tempted to see what God is up to in that lesson as some kind of magical act. It's really just a horrible, horrible story about God. You know, if you just took that story as a parable and said, "Well, God was mad at the people, so God sent serpents to bite them, and then made them look at a stick so they'd get better," you would think it was a strange religion altogether. And in the same way, when Jesus points to that story about being lifted up in the wilderness, you look at that story and you think, so the bottom line is that everything is going to hell and God is going to make it better by raising Jesus up on a stick? And magically everything will go away? But I don't think that's it at all. John, the Gospel of John, is all about light and dark. You'll notice in the Old Testament lesson, God does not, when the snake gets lifted up on the pole, what happens to the snakes? Now, in a perfectly good parable, the snakes would all go away. With sound effects. So if you're in Upiru and you hear, "Look at the cross," you're right. The snakes don't get taken away. When they look upon the stick, they are healed. Because you see, God had already told them where their home was, that their home was with God. and that God would be relentless in God's pursuit for them, and that as they began to wander away from home, God found a way to remind them to whom they belong. Look at the pole and be healed. And they were. In the same way, we take John 3:16 and we think to ourselves, you know, how many football games have you seen? You know, for God so loved the world. As if everyone in the rest, that's all they put. For God's, or even worse, they just put John 3:16, right? And especially at football games, people in other countries say, is he one of the players? You know, John, number 3:16? You're just supposed to know. For God so loved the world, that's how we translate it. I actually love the older translation. God loved the world like this. God sent God's only Son to die so that through him we might be saved. I think it's the same thing as the snake. The problem isn't that God has somehow gone away, but in that cross we too are healed, which I think is maybe a better sign, a better word than that word saved. We have already been called home. We know the road. But when darkness calls, when we get drawn into those places that are dark and not good for us and not filled with love, we need the cross to remind us of the way home, where we are loved and healed and saved. But we like to look for treasure. And so we pick dark roads that are not good for us, where we find our way covered by darkness. Whether it is self-deceit or greed or hopelessness, or whether it is running after false gods, even if it's something as stupid as, I think about one of the dark places that we've gone is way back in the 50s and 60s, do you remember, how many people remember glass bottles? One of the nice glass bottles. Do you remember glass bottles? Milk came in them. I don't want to know where your mind went. Glass bottles, right? And what was going to be the salvation for all of us? Plastic! I remember. Plastic was going to help us all. And styrofoam. It was going to be so convenient. And now we're drowning in its darkness. I remember in 1986, the first time we telecommuted. 1986. We had a little Macintosh 512K with the disks that you pushed into it. And Jeannie was going to be on maternity leave. This is before Al Gore discovered the internet. And I remember we had our home computer. Jeannie had her computer at work. She was going to be telecommuting. And I went, and it went, and then I typed, hi. And she typed, hi. I thought Jesus had come again. And it made things so much easier. It's like the guy who goes out into the field and just lays there apathetically. It turns out that we can make things so easy for ourselves that we just don't want to do anything. For God so loved the world that God gave his only Son to die that all might be saved, so we can go to Ruby Tuesdays and not worry about it. But in the end, God raises Jesus not to lead us to darkness or apathy, but to bring us home to the very place God created for us in the first place. God calls us back to the love that God began with in the beginning, when God created the Word. And God continually tries to draw us out of the darkness into the light, so that we can be light for the world, to share God's abundance with those who are in need, to give deeply of ourselves for those who are lonely and unloved, to give what we have and what we do not have for the sake of God's beginning and God's end. And sometimes it takes a wise old God sitting in the middle of our crossroad to remind us of what we already know, that we are home with God. Amen.